put your website to work while you play. A website works 24/7, so no matter where you are or what you're doing, people can still find you online. Start building your website today at GoDaddy.com. It starts with a .com domain. Enter promo code 199MYLF, that's 199MILF, at checkout to get your .com for just $1.99. Some limitations apply. See website for details. Hello, everybody. I'm Sophie Venable, and welcome to Milk Talk. Make your life fabulous. We like to talk about anything here, from parenting and money issues to sex and dating.
Sex and dating.
But sex is your favorite,
right? I like sex.
Yeah. Well, okay, we're going to talk about that today, but okay. Let me get there. Okay,
yeah.
So, I'm a psychologist, life coach, mother of two, author of MILF 101, Make Your Life Fabulous. And I'm passionate about helping people live authentic, joyful lives. So do it. Now.
So bossy.
So, but if you want some advice, feel free to email me at makeyourlifefabulous@gmail.com or tweet me at MILF Talk. And I'd be happy to answer your questions on a show or, in a tweet if you don't care about your privacy.
Yeah.
But no, find me on Facebook and like me because it makes me feel validated. Okay? Facebook.com/Sophie Venable. Okay.
That's fair.
Yeah, that's fair enough. Todd's here.
Hi.
Always happy when Todd's here. I know nobody's surprised anymore because you're always here because you're just a good guy that way.
I try to be here.
I know.
Not always here. Sometimes I'm not.
Very rarely are you not here. And then, you're going to get really famous soon and then you're just not going to have time for me. But you'll have lots of money. So you'll pick up the check.
Then I'll have more time. I'll have more time if I have lots of money. Yeah,
well,
isn't that
true? I guess so. Yeah. Especially if you're on like a half hour where you just really have a 9-to-5 day and that's totally awesome. I hear that's kind of the best gig in the whole world.
And if I'm super famous, people will bend to my schedule. I'll be like, you need to let me off the set for 2 hours so I can go do this podcast.
Aww,
and they'll be like, well, do you want me to walk off this job? And I'll be so famous that they'll have to deal with it. That's not how it works.
Yes, I know. I was going to say, and you're such a prima donna. I could totally see you pulling that.
Very difficult.
Very,
very difficult.
Welcome to my world. So how are you?
I'm okay.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah. I heard you say you were getting sweaty in some Santa costumes or something for auditions or this or sweaters.
Oh,
sweaters,
yeah, that's
to wear,
true.
Like...
Well, yeah, because while it's the hottest time of the year in L.A.,
yes,
it's also the time of the year where they cast all the holiday commercials.
Right.
So quite often.
All the holiday commercials that make us cry.
Yeah. Yes. Quite often. Or laugh.
Or laughing.
Well, a lot of times they're funny. There's more and more commercials these days, I think, that are like slightly sardonic about the holidays.
Mm.
I don't think that's bad. It's funny. You have to wear sweaters to these things.
Oh.
And when it's 106 degrees in the valley, you know. I mean, I obviously don't put the sweater on and drive around with it, but just
you don't,
like.
Not to just get into character.
No,
you're not like all
no,
method
not
like
to,
that.
Yeah. Well, maybe if I have to drop a few pounds on my way to the audition.
You put the air conditioning on really, really low. You know, put a little like snow globe on your dashboard.
Yeah, exactly.
Start singing jingle bells. Get into character.
Yeah.
All the way there.
There's a lot of
jingle
that,
all the way. That's what I was trying to say.
Yeah. Okay. But it's fine. It's good.
It's good.
Yeah.
All right. Life's good.
I remember one time, can I tell you an acting audition story?
Of course. I love stories.
I remember one time when it was really, really hot. I went on this audition, and in the audition, like the bit of the spot is like I was the employee of the company that, I can't remember what it was, like Home Depot or something like that.
Okay. Yeah. So I was wondering, like, you were like turning knobs. I wasn't sure.
Like, no, I don't know what it was. I was just gesturing with my hands, not turning knobs.
Okay.
But anyway, so I was like the employee of the company, and the bit was that there's a Santa Claus. That's the other fun thing about this time of year is you go somewhere and there's like 18 Santa Clauses and like a bunch of...
That would make you smile.
And a bunch of little people who are there to audition for the roles of elves. So there's a, it's always interesting to walk into those auditions, but this particular one, the bit is Santa Claus is supposed to be sitting on my lap telling me what he wants from the store that I work for.
Oh, cute. Okay.
But it's really hot, and there's this big guy who looks like Santa Claus, and he got like serious stage fright, performance anxiety, was like ludicrously nervous.
Oh, no.
Like sweating, couldn't say his lines, and it was such a surreal, kind of dark moment in my career. This is a long time ago, where I was like, Santa Claus is sitting on my lap, and he's sweating so much, and I'm not sure that Santa Claus isn't crying right now.
Oh, no.
Because he said total panic attack about what he's supposed to be saying. It was an easy gig for me, except for the fact that I had to have a large man sitting on my lap. I didn't have to do anything but listen.
Yeah.
And he had to list all this stuff.
And was this an audition
stuff.
To the actual filming of it?
This was the audition.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And yeah, he didn't get the part. And I didn't either. So,
do you blame him?
No. No. But who knows? Sometimes in these commercial auditions, if an actor panics, then you can go down the tank with it.
Yeah.
It's just how it goes.
It's part of the deal.
I don't blame anybody for that stuff.
No.
It's all a crapshoot. You roll the dice. If you get it, you get it. If you don't, you don't. You move on to the next thing. It's no biggie.
No biggie.
It's how the game works.
You're the Worst is getting good reviews.
It is. You're the Worst is getting very good reviews.
Very good. Everybody loves you.
Our season finale made everybody very, very happy.
Yay.
And it was my biggest, bits were on that show, and I went absolutely apeshit crazy. And a lot of people on Twitter were saying, hey, you're really funny. Yeah. All these people followed me. This is funny. You're so funny with your
heart
drunken
t-shirts.
Yeah.
I'm going to sell them.
Yeah, it was good.
It's awesome.
It was fun. Yeah.
Very good. Yay for Todd.
Yay for me.
Yay for you. I was happy this weekend because my Chargers won again.
San Diego
Chargers.
Yes.
And I love it because now everybody's talking about how awesome Philip Rivers is, and everybody loves to bag on Philip Rivers.
Uh-huh.
And now it's like, you can't get him down. He's too much of a leader, and da 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 da. And they're just like talking him up like he's,
So the tides have turned.
The tides have turned for now. But then, of course, there's all the people like, oh, yeah, just wait till he chokes. And it's like, yeah, whatever. Hey, they beat Seattle, which was awesome. I was in Seattle watching that game.
Oh, wow. In a bar?
No. Probably would have gotten my ass kicked. You don't want to mess with Seattle fans.
Yeah,
I was actually
at
a friend's house and, kind of losing my shit happily because they were just like, it was so good. It was so good.
They were mad, though, because they were Seattle fans?
Yeah, they weren't mad, though. They were more laughing at
how happy you were.
Yeah. I get a little excited when I watch football.
That's good. That's the point.
It is. It's my reality TV. It's kind of my guilty pleasure. I don't watch The Housewives or any of that shit.
It's less predictable than reality TV, sporting events.
Oh, I know. Well, reality TV's gotten so it's just, okay, now we're going to lob you this, and then you're going to do this, and then we're going to film that. And
we're all naked.
And
because that's the new trend in reality TV is the constant naked. Everything's naked.
I know, but have you watched? Yes, you have watched. Have we talked?
Yeah, you told me to watch Naked Dating, and I watched a few episodes of Naked Dating.
And I think it's Dating Naked. My daughter keeps correcting me, but whatever.
I think it's Naked Dating. I think they put naked in front of whatever the show is.
Right.
It's like if it's a home improvement
naked
show.
Naked cooking, naked
it's
yoga.
Naked home improvement.
Because exactly.
That's what they want to get you with is the naked. But it's kind of pointless because they blur out all the good parts.
Yes, but you can kind of fill in with your imagination. But I like the dating.
It's reality television. I don't want to fill anything in with my imagination. Why would I do that? It's reality TV. Anyway. What were you going to say about Naked Dating?
No, I mean, I'm hearing you. I'm hearing you. I'm trying to, empathize.
Naked Dating was amusing enough.
It was amusing enough. Yeah, so yeah. I thought it was pretty fun. I thought I liked the idea that certain walls were down, essentially, because they were naked, and it was like, okay, well, we've gotten past that part.
Right.
Now let's actually get to know each other.
I thought, I always thought the most I watched, I think three episodes of it, and the thing that was always the most interesting for me to watch was when two naked people who had not met each other before, came together and had that awkward first date conversation naked.
Naked, I know.
And that was interesting. But then when they were like you know,
water skiing,
or horseback riding, or zip lining naked. That was not appealing to me because this seems uncomfortable.
No, that's like a skin disease waiting to happen. Yeah, it's like you're going to...
Why are you doing this?
No,
yeah.
No zip lining naked. That's when you wear long sleeves and long pants or you come home with a bacterial... flesh-eating disease.
Yeah. And then someone, like on the show, because they always wind up in the pool at the end of it, like
always,
all of
the
naked. And like someone's like always, you know, aggressively, unpleasantly drunk and making everybody uncomfortable. And I was always like, well, why can't everybody just hang out in the pool naked and not like be aggressively drunk and aggravated with everybody? I don't know. I know they do that on purpose because it's not dramatically interesting to watch people getting along in a pool.
No, I mean, it's just like, you know, when the whole, I mean, I'm going to go out on a limb and say reality TV started with
Cops.
Real World.
Cops.
Oh, really?
I would say Cops was the first reality TV show.
Okay, because Real World...
That was the first...
That was like, let's take a bunch of 21-year-olds, stick them in a blender with some booze, and see what happens.
That was definitely
the first...
And make
sure they're good-looking, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was the first overproduced reality TV show.
Okay,
absolutely.
So, okay, you said drunk, and it got me thinking... I don't even know.
Why are we doing this? Let's go out and get drunk.
We should naked drunk podcast.
Naked drunk podcast.
I don't even know how ethical it is to just really blatantly get people as drunk as you can get them. But I think Drunk History might be my new favorite show.
Drunk History is really funny. I know a bunch of people on that. Actually, one of the guys from You're the Worst, his name is Alan McLeod. He plays Paul on that show. He's on Drunken History. It's hilarious. I know a lot of comics who've done that.
Oh.
It's really funny.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
It makes me so happy.
Yeah, it's really funny.
I just discovered it like
a
week ago.
They have like a whole thing. They have like paramedics on set and all that stuff.
Yeah, just to make sure.
And then people have to get their livers tested and all that before they do it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah, because they don't want to like send them over the edge.
Yeah,
like
the girl, well, if they have bad numbers.
Like, I didn't really have that much to drink. I just had like 2 bottles of wine and I had 3 drinks before that. And then by the end, she's like on her hands and knees and she's like, have we started filming?
It is very funny.
But I always love it when they're like, wait, I need another drink. And they work it into the scene.
Right. I don't, you know, it's funny that you call that reality TV. I don't consider
it. No, that's not
reality
TV. No, that was just, but see, the part of it where they're actually like encouraging people to down entire bottles of tequila, that's part of the reality TV aspect of it. The interview, it really seems a little bit unethical to me.
It probably is to a certain degree. But, you know, my favorite internet show right now is Getting Doug with High, which is Doug Benson and like some comedian or famous person.
Man, I'm going to lose hours of my life.
They
again.
Just smoke pot and get high and you... And the concept is, and they start the show every day at 4:20, of course.
Of course.
So the concept is you're getting high with them. It's really funny. I mean, I'm a big Doug Benson fan. I like that guy.
Yeah, I'll check it out.
Yeah. It's not as intricate as Drunk History with the reenactments and all that stuff. This is just you're hanging out with people getting high.
Right. Which
but
I think you can do.
People.
I think you can do with Kevin Smith on a few of his podcasts too.
Kevin Smith has been on Getting Doug with High.
Oh, okay.
Of course.
Well, of course
yes,
he has. Yes, of course he has. You know, he used to never smoke. That's
yes,
like a new
he was
thing
a late bloomer.
Yeah, he was
with
a late bloomer
the
as
Dubich.
Far as being a pothead. Yeah.
Yeah.
So and more whatever. Good for him. Cheers.
Good for him. Well, they say it's better for you if you're gonna smoke.
But he didn't drink either.
No.
Not a big drinker.
No.
So. Yeah. Anyhow, so guess what we're going to talk about today? Because I really wanted to make you uncomfortable.
Oh, great. I thought you said we were talking about sex today.
We're talking about talking to your kids about sex.
Oh, Jesus. Why?
Why? I don't know. Because I think this is, it's important.
I know.
It's and important. And how old's your boy?
He's 8.
Yeah.
Well, he's about to be 9.
Okay. And has he gotten a book or anything? Have you like given him the book? Or,
the book?
You know, there's books. There's books. I mean,
he's
I'm
had books on his
books.
Shelves for a long time about things like that.
I mean, at his age, it's kind of a more of a latency age for boys. They're not like obsessed with the idea yet.
No,
you know?
No. He, you know.
But does he know he can talk to you?
Yeah, totally. I mean, stuff comes up in, like, movies and stuff.
Well, yeah,
I mean, he
course.
Is a bit at the, you know, kissing's gross. Like, he's not into the kissing parts of the movie. And,
right.
like, he'll immediately, like, pick up the Pokemon cards or, you know, mm-hmm. the Minecraft on the phone
right.
during the kissing
Anything
parts.
To, like, get away from them.
Yeah, but he does ask questions. Like, they're, you know, I've made my mistakes as a parent with certain things that I've viewed in his presence. Because the rating yeah. system, that you should do a show about the rating
the
system.
The rating system, yeah.
But,
my kids watch New Girl.
The
oh
other,
God.
Oh God. Oh the other God. Day, I know. But one of my friends lets her, like, 7-year-old watch The Walking Dead. And I'm like,
oh,
and there
yeah.
are people at school, at my kid's school, who they're like, we watch The Walking Dead. Do you watch The Walking Dead? And he's like, you're not watching The Walking Dead. You can forget about that. So, but even as, you know, protective as I am about that, like, mm-hmm. I'll watch old movies. Like, we watched an old Clint Eastwood Western in which
right.
there was a suggested rape scene.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And then he was asking, like, what
is
they doing? And then
about.
I was like,
yeah.
oh, boy, how do I word this so I'm not destroying his innocence? But I let it was
boy,
basically
that's rough.
Like, it was basically me saying, this is what you need to understand. Those guys are doing the worst possible thing
right.
that men can do. That's all you need to know. Because, like, in the whole point of it was so Clint Eastwood would come in and shoot them all.
Right.
Right.
So
they're
like,
horrible.
So just to be clear, they all deserved it.
They all
right,
are horrible
okay.
and deserve to be shot by Clint Eastwood. That's it. That's what you need to know right now at almost 9 years old.
Yeah, exactly.
You know? So, but yeah. And other things get done. You know, there's just... There's certain comedy movies where people would be in bed together
yes.
or, you know,
yeah,
or
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah.
They're, like, making out and they're getting in. And, like, he asks those questions. And we're not, like, my parents probably would have said, don't worry about that. That's something you can worry about when you get older, is what they would have said.
I've kind of tried that. In fact, the other day, I can't remember what it was, they were, oh... Yeah, I remember what it was. It was something on New Girl, and it was like, oh, man, I'm not in the mood to explain this right now. Like,
right.
you know, and I tried that response of like, never mind, it's not important, because Natalie's like, what just happened? I'm like, she goes, well, I think I got the first part of the joke. I'm just not sure I got the second part of the joke.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just briefly explained it. Like, he basically was saying, I got a chubby. And then she did something really unattractive. And then he's like, okay, I can walk now. So, you know, and so she's like, I think I got the first. Yeah, I got the first part of it. And I go, well, then she did something really unattractive. And so she goes, okay, yeah, I got it. You know, and I'm like, oh, God, this is killing me. So, you know, but my kids have watched Friends for a really long time. And
sure.
they're just in love with it. They're in love with every character. Apples don't fall far from the tree.
Right.
And so they've had a lot of questions.
Well, there's a lot of sexual innuendo on the Friends.
Oh, my God. It's not even innuendo. It's like they were one of the first shows to be really blatant about condoms.
That's
they'd
true.
Have, they'd have
that's
like,
true.
They'd have like, there's one condom left, and Rachel and Monica both are having special moments, and they're like, no, and then they're fighting for it, you know? And I mean, all this stuff, and Joey with the package and the warning,
sure.
and it's only 98% effective. Like, it's been all over, and then there's... Oh, it turns out Phoebe's parents were actually in a polyamorous relationship. She was like, yeah, there's like this weird, yeah, there's so many crazy storylines. And of course, in the very beginning of the whole show, Ross's marriage breaks up because his wife wants to have a threesome, and it turns out she's a lesbian, right?
So, yeah, a danger.
So I have had, I've had many questions come up.
Sure.
You know, like, especially over the years as they get older and they get more curious.
My parents didn't let me watch shit like that.
No,
like, I wasn't allowed to watch Three's Company. I had to sneak to watch Three's Company because I thought John Ritter was the funniest goddamn thing. But, like, if they caught me watching it,
really?
I'd get in trouble.
God, and that stuff was so implied. It was it was so implied. I mean, I watched it all the time with my mom, and I, you know, I got it, but it was like none of it was... really made me that uncomfortable or anything.
My mom,
it was like, it was so implied back then. Now it's just so.
But my mom
blatant.
Considered it smut.
Yeah.
I wasn't allowed to watch The Love Boat and Fantasy Island. So whenever they were out on Saturday and I got to talk the babysitter into letting me watch those things, I was like, yeah. But I would never tell
Hot
my
night
parents.
For Todd,
yeah.
Fantasy Island and
Fantasy,
The Love Boat.
Yeah.
Yeah, baby.
Yeah. The dock.
And then a little Three's Company on the side.
Yeah, a little Three's Company. Yeah.
Look
That's
out.
A good night.
Would
for
you have
Todd.
A satellite dish or something? That's insane.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's, yeah, but they wouldn't. Mm.
Well, I would say that the number one point of all of that is that your conversation with your kid about sex is not going to be one conversation.
No,
you know,
the idea that
it's ever going to be like, we're going to talk about this once, I'm going to tell you how it works, and then we're never talking about it again. That's a really, really old-fashioned sort of cop-out, frankly. But your kid, because your kids are going to have questions. Right?
Yeah. Well, and that's what I'm trying to say about, you know, explaining it to my kid is, when he asks questions, I give him answers, as opposed to when I grew up, I just didn't really get answers. You know, it really was, we'll talk about this another time.
Right.
When you're older.
Right. When you're older.
For now,
like when you're 40.
About it. Yeah. Forget about it. But with him, you know, I give him honest answers. I don't tell him we'll talk about it when we're older. But I mean, I know him and I know, you know, where he's at developmentally what kind of information he can process.
Right.
And I feel like it's just about like that sort of editing. How do I answer this for where he's at? Because you don't want
to. You don't need to give them more information than
too much information.
No, you don't. You don't have to. I mean. And there's different schools of thought on this. I think when they were really young and I did sort of the birds and the bees, you know, like this is how all mammals get pregnant kind of thing. Cause that's pretty much how they were asking. I didn't go into the fact that people do it just, you know, for pleasure most of the time or, you know, any of that. I didn't get into that.
Right.
You know, that wasn't really what they were asking. I was answering the question at hand, you know, and of course now there's a phrase, I have a sex positive household. I did not know that I have a sex positive household.
Congratulations.
Yes, thank you. You know, but there's a lot of schools of thought that, you know, it's really okay, like even when they're younger to go ahead and explain that people do this for pleasure.
I think I would imagine it's the most healthy thing for them to understand these things. So when they get to that point where they're actually wanting to do it, they can navigate the waters a little bit
exactly,
better.
Exactly.
As opposed to it being a shock to the system.
Right. And it's just, and or people talking about it. Why are they joking about it? Why is our culture kind of basically obsessed with it, you know, and yet puritanical about it at the same time? It's like we're so screwed up about it. And so you have to give them, I think, a broader foundation. In, like a different, well, what am I trying to say? Like different ways that they can see it. Yes, of course, it's for procreation and it's this, and yes, you can get disease, you get pregnant, you have to be responsible, all of those things. And also that there's an emotional component to it.
Sure.
Like nobody really talks about that. Like, by the way, there's an emotional component to this. This might be a little bit more than you can handle, you know, and that, or teaching boys that this might mean a little bit more to her than it does to you at this point, at this age, you know, stuff like that, really talking about the emotional component of it, like as they get a little bit older. But my little one asked me that the way she found out that people do it for fun. And this was before she had like, you know, watched too many Friends episodes.
Sure.
Cause my older one was watching them, you know, first. Mm. And then, was that she knew the facts. Well, for two reasons. Okay, one suggestion also is that you can check in with your kids before they're asking you. You can say, you know, so what are kids saying about sex these days? Like, what are your friends talking about? Like, what's the word on the street?
Right.
You know, because Natalie was really, really stressed out for a while. She was like freaking out every time I would give Mark a hug or a kiss goodbye. And I thought, okay, well, maybe it's just you know, divorce stuff, whatever. And then finally one day I looked at her and I'm like, Natalie, do you need to know the facts of life? She goes, please. I said, okay, what are your friends saying? She said, so-and-so said that you take off your clothes and kiss, and that's how you get pregnant. And I'm like, close, but there's a little bit more to it than that.
It's a good place to start. But
what occurred to me is that means that every time I go to kiss Mark goodbye, she's thinking I'm like one shirt removal away from a little brother she didn't ask for, you know?
Oh,
like really,
right.
You know, she's like six, seven years old. Is like, what, stop doing that.
does it necessitate that outcome?
Right.
Like it makes it happen.
Right.
If you're naked and kissing, then there's
like,
a
you guys already kissed. So if you take your clothes off, like, my world is going to end basically as much, I know it. Yeah, it was just too much for her to handle. So she was actually kind of relieved when she sort of went, oh, okay, it's a little more complicated than that, you know. And interestingly enough, she didn't really press further, you know.
Sure.
She was like, okay, cool. Like, I get that. I'm going to process that. And boy, she really was more relaxed around. Like, it was stressing her out. I was like, wow, that's kind of intense. Poor little thing, you know.
Yeah.
So I was kind of glad I checked in with her, you know. And, So then, cut to, one of, there was a girl in our life, friend of daughter, blah, 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 whatever, who was 20 and got pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with not the greatest boyfriend in the whole world. And so we were talking about this and somebody said, well, God, why didn't they use birth control?
Oh.
And he goes, what's birth control?
Ah.
I'm like, oh, okay,
here we go.
I'm like, well, you know how the sperm goes to the egg? Yeah. Okay. Well, there's things to kind of prevent that from happening, you know? And she's like, oh, well, why would anybody want to do that process if you weren't going to make a baby? And I just died. I was like, I didn't fall out laughing because I was like, okay.
Keep it together.
I'm like laughing hysterically. It can be an expression of love. She goes, okay.
That's enough. You've gone too far.
We've gone too far. She's like, now she's going to be like, birth control. And this is just real life. You know, this is just,
sure.
This isn't from television. This is just life happening around her, you know?
Right, right.
So I have found that with both of them, in my experience as a parent, that the more they know and the more you're willing to answer their questions, I think that the more you have the option to talk to them about responsibility too. You know, you can't just sort of like paint it one way with all of culture painting it another way and then sort of say, and by the way, you have to be, you know, there's all these rules around it and
and
you have to think of it this way and have all these fears around it and be responsible around it. But I don't really want to talk about
there's yet. So much we have to explain as parents now,
yeah,
too, because of those outside influences.
Oh, yeah.
There's so much explanation.
And we've talked quite a bit about how to deal with porn and kids seeing porn and really explaining to them
right.
that this isn't actually what sex looks
yeah,
like.
It's not. Really?
Nor does
a
that
lot
make you...
of these positions are very uncomfortable.
Very uncomfortable.
They're for the camera.
Nor does this make you a good lover.
Yeah.
And
no.
Frankly, kind of want my kids to be decent lovers.
That's fair. It's all you want, your kids to grow up and make somebody happy. Yeah, sure.
Or have somebody make them happy.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, like,
well, maybe both, I would hope.
Yeah, exactly. No. Hey, please. We talked to him. I'm all about everybody having a good time.
Yeah. Have fun.
But that is a major point of discussion that comes up. And that is one reason to maybe check in with your... Like if there's a news story about something or, you know, that anything that would maybe jar the conversation into place to
sure.
maybe say, so what are your friends saying about stuff like this? Do people talk about it?
That seems like a really good like question to get you into that conversation. Is what are your friends saying?
Yeah. And then.
Because then you can contextualize where they're at.
Yeah, and I think in a way it makes their questions for you a little less scary.
Sure.
Because you're coming from a place of like, you know, you might want to check in with me or, you know, or your same sex parent or whatever. Like, you know, if you know that like your mom and your son's not going to talk to you, or you might want to say like, you know, go ahead and ask your dad because your dad knows more than your friends.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
sure.
Like I know more than your friends. Your dad knows more than your friends.
Right.
Like these are things that you want to get clear.
Right.
You know,
absolutely.
as you move forward in life.
Yeah.
You know.
But, you know, a little at a time. I think you're right. Have a little at a time. You don't have to start right away with the conversation about BDSM and whatever. Just wait on that. Just They don't need to know about that right away.
I think that's like the one question I haven't gotten yet.
Yeah.
That's the problem with, God, when we're watching New Girl, I'm like, God, you know, they will reach into,
yeah,
even if they're just alluding to it, but they'll really like stretch a joke out for a while. And I'm like, oh my God, can we change this subject?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Don't watch, by the way, You're the Worst with your kids.
Oh, no.
Ever.
No.
Ever.
No.
No.
No. No. That is not a kid's show.
No.
Do not.
No.
No.
But you should watch it without them.
You absolutely should. So the other thing to know when you're talking to your kids is that don't relate your sex talk to your sex life.
Ah, yeah, because that's gross.
No, they don't.
That's
not okay.
Yeah, because then, God, it's a dicey situation, yeah. The whole talking about sex with your kids, because then they might have to,
they want
to picture that.
No.
Oh, God, that's the worst.
Yeah, you have to use things like, well, some people, and...
Some people
would do this, or the way that would work,
or
you go, I don't know, maybe people do this.
I don't know.
Because I really don't want you picturing me doing that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Some people use swings. You know?
Really, really, you're kind of obsessed with the BDSM and the swings and stuff.
It's a good go-to bit.
It's... That's all it's about.
It's all about
the comedy.
I don't really want to put anyone in a swing and have sex. That's crazy.
I used to go to this Bachelorette Headquarters type store.
Headquarters? Is that what it was called?
It was a sex shop geared for
ladies.
It was totally, geared toward the ladies. Oh, you know, nice. And it's where you'd go if you wanted to get like the penis pops and the, you know.
Penis pops?
Yeah.
The lollipops that look like penises?
Yeah, like the... pacifiers look like penises or whatever, you know.
Fantastic.
Good stuff. Fantastic stuff. Or, you know, toys and stuff. And lotions and potions.
Sure.
So, but the girl that worked there, she was great. She was so easy to talk to. You'd be like, what does this do? And how does this work? And why do people like this? And she was like, oh, let me show you. And she just loved what she did.
Right,
she was
right.
So easy to talk to. Every time I went in there, she was always trying to sell me the swing. Always. And I'm like... Okay, one, that's a pretty serious contraption, and you have to, like, hang it, you know, from a stud, you know. And
I would know.
I got no problem with this. Like, knock yourselves out. Still, it's great. But it looks awkward. Like, it looks like the leather would leave marks on your ass, and, like, it just looks awkward.
Yeah.
See, this is a conversation I definitely do not want to have with my children.
I think maybe that's something they need to discover on their own.
I think so.
When they're consenting adults.
I do have a friend who has a very, like, communicative relationship with her son, and he's, like, 25 now,
mm-hmm.
and he did share with her that he was in a dom-sub relationship. And she was like, that's great. Are you happy? Like, just really, you know, just... Where do I follow this? I don't know what I want to do with this information.
Right.
You know? But he kind of wanted to talk to her about it, like on an emotional level. Like, this is,
you know, you want to be out.
Right. Like, this is what works for me.
Yeah.
And this is, you know, and
that's it. If you're gay, you want to come out to your parents.
Right.
So you don't feel like you're. So if you have that sort of relationship, maybe you want your parents to know in the same way.
I guess so. I think so. I mean, it was just, I think honestly, I think it was just kind of more of a fascinating thing to him that he wanted to go, like, it's kind of interesting because it works. It kind of works for me.
Right.
Like, I like that I know the rules and I like that I know what to expect and it makes me less nervous. And,
sure.
And she's like, wow, that's kind of fascinating. Like, the whole, you know, it kind of makes you think, oh, well, okay, but I'm good. I don't want any more details.
Yeah, no, that's good. That's great. I'm glad you're having, be safe. Remember your safe words.
Giuliani. That's my go-to comedic
Giuliani.
Safe word.
Safe word.
Giuliani.
Sure. He cleaned up New York City, so.
I don't even know why. I just think it's a funny word.
It makes perfect sense.
Does it?
He took all the porn out of New York City, out of Manhattan. He took all the fun out of Manhattan.
You can't take all the fun out of Manhattan.
Oh,
you
yes,
can
you,
try.
He tried.
But you can't.
He took a lot of the fun out of it.
Really?
Yeah, all the, like, I went,
How
I does was
that
like.
Work? That's like banning alcohol. It's impossible.
I was
Don't
at
we
the
know
tail
that?
End. No, he cleaned up 42nd Street and Times Square because that place was all like porn and sex shops.
I was
and
getting away at tap
smoke
dancing.
Shops and all that stuff and Broadway shows. You could go to a Broadway show and watch the damn Yankees and dance then, and then you could go next door and get a
get
lap dance and then you could go next door to that and get some lube and then you could go next door to that and buy a bong and it was great.
And
he
now
got rid
it
of it.
Sucks.
All of it. Giuliani ruined it. Ruined it.
Ruined
it. It's called gentrification and it makes things less fun. That's so therefore Giuliani makes perfect sense for a safe word because that kills the sex. You see what I'm saying?
Oh my God.
You see?
Yeah,
you see
yeah.
the okay.
Yeah, yeah.
All right.
I'm
so
good.
Anyway,
I'm
back
good,
to
good.
Back to kids.
Okay. Here's a little debate for you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The notion of virginity.
Uh-huh.
Okay. That virginity is something
sacred.
That even exists or that you give away or that somebody else
right.
should be in charge of or that it like it's this loaded
mm-hmm.
thing,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
You know, I tend to shy away from talking about virginity so much and like who you want to lose it to and how that's gonna, you know, all of that stuff.
Right.
I, you know, personally, I try to focus more on I want you to be with somebody, whether you think they're gonna be your future forever mate or whatever. You know, mm-hmm. my kids are children of divorce, they're not like, you know, they see what, you know, that what all that entails,
means, yeah.
you know, but. But and they know that like you don't necessarily marry your high school sweetheart or whatever your first boyfriend. I said, it just whoever it is, I want you to feel precious, not necessarily like your virginity to feel precious. You know, like that this is
but
somebody
the physical
that you
exchange is...
that you feel safe and that you feel adored and you feel
sure
like.
Yeah,
valuable to this person, yeah. you know.
I think that.
But
I think that.
Do you feel
that's
like virginity
actually,
is like a thing or like a?
Well, I think virginity is a thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't
I
have
mean,
a hymen, so
not. Yeah. No.
Which is all bullshit, too. By the way, just saying
the whole hymen thing.
Well, yeah. It's not. There's nothing. There's nothing. It's like what, like 20% of women actually bleed from the hymen breaking the first time. It's just like it's not this some sort of proof of your purity.
Oh,
you know,
yeah. Well, I mean, I think that stuff gets laid under virginity a lot.
Yeah, it's the value of a woman's purity.
Certainly in this country, the predominant religion is all about a virgin woman giving birth to a god, and it was a great miracle because she got to have a baby without all the fun. I don't get it, but, you know, that's a thing. So virginity is very symbolic of innocence and grace and all this nonsense.
Right.
And, you know, I don't buy into it. But I would say virginity, certainly, you know, for me, and, you know, I was raised Catholic and wasn't told a lot of the stuff that I needed to know.
Mm-hmm. So I had to figure it all out.
Yeah. And I lost my virginity pretty late in life. You know, I was almost 20.
Yeah.
But, it was more it wasn't, you know, I'm a boy, so it I'm a grown man now, but I was a boy then. And I, you know, it wasn't that my virginity was precious to me or anything,
right?
But there was a certain level of terror about like not doing this right.
Sure.
What, like, what, how do I make this happen? You know, because I, you know, understood, you know, and you hear it like, so, like as a kid, like, it's like, well, there's foreplay and then there's this and then there's that mm-hmm. and then there's insertions and
right.
all this, like, tech, it sounds so technical.
Right, part
and I was
A,
like,
part B.
I was like, well, like, how do you do? Do you just, like, do you talk through it? You know, it's like, all right, so now is foreplay times. So should we set a timer? We do this for like, what do you think, 8 or 9 minutes? And then, you know, and then we move on to the oral pleasures For what do you do that for? Like 10 to 15, maybe? I don't know.
I don't know.
Talk to, you know, like all those, like, I, you know. Yeah. And so on
how did it, just tell us how, did it go okay?
No, it was terrible. She was very sweet and I was awkward. She wasn't and I was, and, you know, she, like, I, like, the whole thing just terrified me, but she worked with me through it. And, and like, when it was over, I was really happy that it had happened.
Right.
And then things progressed from there and I figured more things out and, you know, because I think that's the other thing. It's like everybody makes their first time this big deal.
Right.
It's this fucking big deal. This is a life-changing moment. It's like, I almost think it's like maybe something I will tell my kid is, your first time, it's a big deal. You know, you should, you know, but just in general, you should treat your sex life with a certain amount of preciousness.
Like all of it, not just the first time.
Not
like
just the first time. And understand that your first time is probably going to be awkward and confused and you won't know what's going on. And most people, you know, don't have, you know, the, you know, older woman who's showing you the way. It's like usually you're with your peers and you're fumbling, and that's and fumbling is okay. Like fumbling and awkward, and it's okay. Just know, you know, so next time you'll be less awkward. Which is, it's like a practice
which
thing.
Is another reason to tell our boys too, to do it with somebody that you care about and that you know cares about you and is going to give you some room to like screw up, you know, and like still talk to you afterwards.
And it's not going to be like it is in the porn you watched. It's just not. There's a lot of behind the scenes stuff you're not seeing. and all of that is nonsense. And know that, you know, like,
that is
even
a really
when you get,
important message.
I think even when you get older, if you're like moving from one relationship to another, you know, first sexual encounters with other people
are always awkward and
fumbly, and that's kind of wonderful. That's you figuring things out.
Especially if you're with someone that you at least respect and like. They might really just be a good friend that you want to have sex with, which is totally fine. But it could still be a little awkward, and if you have some mutual respect and an ability to talk to that person, you're going to have a better experience.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, it's not something that you steal or
and it's not a conquest.
Or taker, like a conquest. Yeah, it's just, it's more of it teaching them that this notion of virginity is one thing, but it's not everything.
Right.
Yeah.
And, you know, and at the same time, it's, you know, I feel like, especially now with all these outside influence that we talk about, I think that young folks feel more pressure to do it. Just like, and it's like, in addition to, you know, it's something that, you know, you should, like, people always say you should be in love with this person. I don't think that's necessarily true, but mutual respect, and you want to have fun together and all that stuff. But also, it's not something that you have to do.
Right.
There should, you should, like, that's another thing. Like, sex, when you feel pressure to do it, sucks.
Right.
It sucks. Yeah. It's awful.
You're not present. It's not, like, there's nothing good about it.
It's not something you have to do. It's not.
Don't have to do it.
That's all I'm saying. And when you do it, you know, have fun.
Right. And I do think that it's harder to give boys that message than girls. I think, you know, in sex ed, from the things I'm reading and learning, a lot of girls feel like sex ed was pretty much like, 60% of them were actually taught how to say no to sex. Like, do it. This is, you know, and that was sort of the long and short of their education around it. Not that I think it's appropriate to be, you know, teaching kids how to be good at oral sex or something in school.
No.
There's lines to be drawn.
They can figure some things out on their own.
Let's not pretend that junior high and high school kids don't have hormonal urges or that they don't have issues to deal with around this. Let's not pretend. Okay. Right. Let's understand that these are future adults. Like in a matter of like the blink of an eye, they're going to be in college and they're going to be dealing with everything, not just drugs, but like all of the issues around sex, mm-hmm. whether it's, you know, pregnancy or disease or the emotional weight of a sexual relationship, your first heavy duty sexual relationship. It's like, can blow your mind.
Sure.
And the first time you break up from a relationship like that. So if you take sex and you take it off the table to talk about, and it's this loaded issue that can bring on so much, then I think you're debilitating your kids for future relationships and something that they're, you can try to think they're not going to have to deal with it, but they're going to have to deal with it.
Sure.
Even if somebody decides I'm holding off till marriage, that's a valid choice, I suppose. But that means they're going to get into a relationship with someone who's going to say, oh, okay, well, I really didn't want to wait for marriage. Like, and that could go either way, guy or girl, whatever, right? That's an issue to deal with.
Yeah.
Okay, this is something to deal with. So if you're going to just say don't do something, maybe let's talk about why.
Right.
And maybe let's talk about, even though you're not going to do it, you're still going to be dealing with it. You're still going to be talking about it. You might be doing everything except intercourse. You might be doing, you know. And that's, and not that you want to have necessarily that specific conversation with your kid. I mean, I don't know what people can handle, you know.
Yeah, I don't know what I'll be able to handle, yeah, to be quite frank.
But the idea that they don't have to feel ashamed,
right,
for wanting to know,
mm-hmm,
and that to the best of your ability, you're willing to talk to them about,
right,
it,
right?
That is going to give them more emotional safety around the topic.
Yeah.
Not just with you, but in their world, like,
yeah,
beyond you.
Yeah, I think it's important. I haven't been brought up Catholic where it was nothing but a shameful, horrible thing that you could do. I kind of wish that I had been explained to more things. I mean,
sure.
My dad tried. You know, we had the conversation about the birds and the bees. But it wasn't enough.
I don't think I had the conversation. I think I read the encyclopedia.
Yeah. Oh, you had an encyclopedia of sex?
No, I had the Encyclopedia Britannica, like the blue books, the 1970,
yeah, sure,
whatever. And then, like, I took the one S, the S book.
The sex
the
section?
S book, and I read the sex section.
I think I did that, too.
Yeah.
I looked at a lot of National Geographic.
I was a young reader.
you were compelled.
I was. What are you going to do? Hey, that's like our time. We're done.
Oh, my gosh.
That
it went so fast.
That was crazy, crazy fast. Anyway, I mean, I hope it went fast for all of y'all out there.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. So, okay, so don't forget to, well, you can't set your DVR right now, but you can find it on iTunes. So,
yeah, watch, yes, You're the Worst
watch
on
You're
iTunes.
The Worst on, yes.
And watch the Film Pigs on
Geek
Nation.
That one too. Yeah. And you can find me on Facebook at Sophie Venable, and you can find me on Twitter at MILF Talk, and you can find MILF 101, my book, on Amazon.com. And is that it?
I don't know.
Oh, you can email me. You can email me at makeyourlifefabulous@gmail.com, and you can ask me all kinds of questions.
Okay.
They can even be kind of personal.
Yeah, why not?
It's all good.
Why not?
All right. Thank you for listening.
Yes, thanks.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger, Slicinger. I've been friends with her for 10 years. One of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore because it's here and it's funny. And I love you.